That was spectacular as always. All right. So today we're not going to be going to Isaiah. Today, the week before Christmas, I tend to like to preach on the coming of Jesus. So today will be a little bit of a different sermon. It'll be a shorter sermon as my Christmas gift to everyone. And here we go. So the story of the coming of Jesus into the world is most magnificent. In the coming of Christ, we have the eternal hope of all resting upon his shoulders. Since the beginning in the garden, the world had been waiting in hopeful and eager anticipation for light to come and defeat darkness, for life from woman to defeat death. There was no reason to doubt the promises of God from long ago. There was little doubt he would fulfill all that he had promised through his word. But the wait, the waiting for the moment to come when all things would begin to be made right, when all the darkness would flee from the light, when death itself would be undone, when the promises would be fulfilled. It seemed like ages and ages. It was ages and ages. Yes, the wait was long. But the wait was not in vain. No, God did as he had planned, as he had promised. In this little town of Bethlehem, he brought forth his most beloved son in the middle of the night to a young girl named Mary and her husband Joseph. Why in this way? Why Mary? Why Joseph? Why Bethlehem? Well, we read, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" I mean, how indeed, right? A virgin bearing a son. How is this possible? And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary is chosen to bear the Son of God. She is betrothed to Joseph, who is of the lineage of David. David, the king of old, from whose line God promised to establish an eternal kingdom. Yet she is also a virgin, as the prophet proclaimed long before. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Why Bethlehem? As the prophet Micah proclaimed long before his birth, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." It was from Bethlehem, the place where David was born, where such a ruler would come. In this way, our living hope came into this world through a woman who gave birth to him in a small town to an awaiting creation. The Son of God, he came as a little babe, looking no different than any other, and yet holding all the world and all other worlds in his tiny hands. This makes us wonder, what is the purpose for this most holy and solemn visit? What is the reason for it? The answer is the fall from long ago. Yes, this act of coming into the world as a man would never occur apart from the fall. And so it is, the fall and all the darkness and all the pain and all the sorrow, all the sin would become undone by this incredible act of God. For the incarnation occurs because of sin and darkness and death. For while we rejoice in the incarnation, we remember how this is truly the Lamb of God in the manger. It is the Lamb of God who comes for a reason and a purpose. As Joseph is told, as he is considering what to do with Mary since she was pregnant, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Thus, in the coming of Jesus, we find the two great pieces of the puzzle of the world. The first is the incarnation, the coming of God as man. The second is atonement, the taking away of our guilt before our God because of our sins. It is all accomplished as the Son of God comes into this world, first known to Mary and Joseph, then to all of us at Bethlehem. Considered in full, the great God of all is now come to us as a man. Some look at this as nothing more than a myth. They would have us believe it is no different than any story of old. Yet what do we find? It is true. He, this Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, was someone who walked this earth, had disciples. These disciples who proclaim that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. It is real that God has come into the world to redeem the world for himself, for his glory. It is all established before us, first with the prophets who proclaimed it would happen, then through the witnesses who testify with the shepherds and magi and the angels. Jesus is not a myth, but a historical person, foretold by the prophets long before his birth and experienced by many individuals living during that time. And it all starts in Bethlehem. Was there anyone else? Yes, there was. As we learn, angels proclaimed this arrival to others. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. There is so much to say of this event. For if we were to close our eyes and imagine the greatness of God and how it encompasses all the world, how it outshines the sun, how it expands forever and forever, beyond even the scope of the universe, this God, who is far greater and far more than all else, is here in our midst. Is there anything which could hinder us from joining the chorus of angels? This event, which would cause even all of them to rejoice, Could there be anything which would keep us from glorifying God as they have done? Indeed, angels gloried over the coming of Christ the Lord. But not only them, we learn also, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that was told had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Humans and angels, in one voice, singing praises to God Almighty. Why? Because this moment, when all the world begins to be made new, because we now know the greatness of God and His Word, for we know, starting in this moment in Bethlehem, the city of David, that God is truly among us, and He will never depart from us if we should place our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Heaven came down at Christmas. Love came down at Christmas so that we could enter into heaven, so that we could know love. Is there anything greater than the story of the Son of God coming into the world? What is there that could ever be more meaningful for God to have done than sending us His beloved Son? We know the story. We know the beauty and the mystery. We proclaim with a loud voice, the Son of God is born. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God, slain for you, slain for me, so that we could taste and see and know the greatness of God and His glory. Now here we are, 2,000 years later. As I stand here today, it's hard not to think of all the past years we've been experiencing and how it has affected each and every one of us. We have had many individuals who are in sorrow today. We have had many individuals who have lost jobs and businesses, many who are wondering how they're going to feed their families, many who have become ill, many who have died. We have seen lies, we've seen deceptions, where the truth is something which is distorted for personal or political gain. We have seen all the brokenness that this world has to offer. Dare we have any hope? But that is why the Christmas story is so significant, why it is so important. Many waited for the coming of Jesus Christ. We wait in our way for His return. But we know that He has come, and His Spirit is with us. And now we have a deep fellowship with our God. Our hope is not in the dead. Our hope is in the living. He who conquered death lives today, and He knows our sorrows and knows our pains. There is nothing, nothing in all creation, in heaven or hell, which can separate us from the fellowship we have with our God through Jesus Christ. So while we may still have sorrows, let us remember that our hope is secure. We have an assurance of hope in Christ Jesus. The hope He has given us is the hope of the ages. How do we know it is secure? Because we know all the promises God has given in the past are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. He has promised to wipe away every tear from our eyes. He has promised to undo death. He has promised us eternal life through His blood. Shall we doubt the promises of our God? Or doubt He is capable? Or even know after knowing what He has given to us on Christmas Day? He who promised has provided. Our hope is not blind, but fully realized in what God has done. He who has conquered will conquer, and those who know Him and place their faith in Him will know eternal peace. That is their hope, a hope which is alive and well today. This Christmas, let us join with all others who behold and wonder at the event. Let us join together and proclaim the great news of the coming of the Son of God, who is now with us. Let us sing of His mercies, His love, and his glory. Let our voices mingle together with the angels as we proclaim the great news of the coming of the Son of God. Let us join the chorus of saints before us, who together celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. Let us rejoice because we know nothing in all the world can take away the living hope we have in Jesus Christ. Admittedly, this is all I have to offer today. But I wish to close with some words from John Chrysostom, who has now become my go-to for special events. A great preacher who lived in 347 to 407 AD, who had this to say about the coming of Christ. "Come then, let us observe the feast. Come, and we shall commemorate the solemn festival. It is a strange manner of celebrating a festival, but truly wondrous is the whole chronicle of the Nativity. For this day, the ancient slavery is ended. The devil is confounded. The demons take to flight. The power of death is broken. Paradise is unlocked. The curse is taken away. Sin is removed from us. Error driven out. Truth has been brought back. The speech of kindliness diffused and spreads on every side. A heavenly way of life has been implanted on the earth. Angels communicate with men without fear, and men now hold speech with angels. Why is this? Because God is now on earth and man in heaven. On every side, all things commingle. He has come on earth while being whole in heaven, and while complete in heaven, he is without diminution on earth. Though he was God, he became man, not denying himself to be God. Though being the impassible Word, he became flesh, that he might dwell amongst us. He became flesh. He did not become God. He was God. Wherefore, he became flesh, so that he whom heaven did not contain, a manger would this day receive. He was placed in a manger, so that he, by whom all things are nourished, may receive an infant's food from his virgin mother. So the Father of all ages, as an infant at the breast, nestled in her virginal arms, that the Magi may more easily see him. Since this day, the Magi too have come and made a beginning of withstanding tyranny, and the heavens give glory as the Lord is revealed by a star. To him then, who out of confusion has wrought a clear path to Christ, to the Father and to the Holy Spirit, we offer all praise now and forever. Amen. Indeed, with all, let us rejoice and say amen. Father, we thank you so much for the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we rejoice, even now 2,000 years later, at the coming, at the event. We thank you, Lord, that our voices, as we sing these songs, as we tell the story, commingle with both humans and angels. The glory of God revealed through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. This is the gift of the ages. God being man, coming to die so that man can enter into heaven. Lord, you are great. You are mighty. You are stronger than all of death and all of sin. We have no reason to doubt the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Continue to dwell with us, Lord. We thank you. We praise your mighty name. Amen. Please rise as we sing our final hymn.